is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
With the ninth pick, the Chicago Bears select. That's what we're going to discuss with Adam Abdallah. I'm David Kaplan. It's another edition of Spring Trading. How are you?
I'm good. It's stupid early again. I said this last time. I worked this show with Tom Waddle the first week of spring trading. Mm-hmm. This is dumb early. Like when that alarm went off at like 4:45. I don't know how you guys do it. I'll complain about it.
I got up at 4, got on the treadmill, and then shower. Come in, ready to... I love it.
I'm already being told to suck it up in the Twitch chat. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. I get it. You guys are used to it. I was on the air till 8 o'clock last night, and then I'm back. Less than 12 hours. So come on. Cut me some slack here. I got a newborn. It's not like I'm getting the most sleep in the world. She's crying now a lot.
7 is easy. 6 gets a little harder. 5, now that was tough.
Yeah.
5 was tough. 5 was tough. So, the Bears are on the clock at 9 after trading the first pick to Carolina. There's some great content on Albert Breer's column on Monday Morning Quarterback. He sat down with Ryan Poles. Peter King sat down with Ryan Poles as well. Ryan said that his initial thought was, I'm trading from 1 to 2 and then from 2 to 9. He has a relationship with the GM in Carolina. Not a close relationship with the GM of the Houston Texans, Nick Caserio. And as they drag their feet, because there is no clear-cut number one quarterback jumping off the page, he decided, okay, when they put DJ Moore in the deal, all right, I addressed a receiver that I needed. Let's make the deal. So yeah. What do they do at 9?
Well, I think it's a more complicated conversation than just saying best player available, right? I feel like that's the easy way out. Saying best player available to me, and I know they've got a lot of holes on this team, but like, if the best player is a safety, you're not taking a safety. If the best player is a tight end, you're not taking a tight end. If the best player is a quarterback, you're not taking a quarterback. Like, if Anthony Richardson falls to 9 somehow, you're not taking Anthony Richardson. So I would like to see them go defense. And I've changed my tune from earlier in the year, but that's because they got DJ Moore. Mm-hmm. Like, if they had traded back to 9 and not gotten DJ Moore, and Ryan Poles got the extra 2025 first-round pick, like they got a 2024, a 2025, and whatever else, right? Because that was also offered. And Ryan Poles said, no, I want DJ Moore, or this isn't happening. DJ Moore, no matter what, as you would like to say, Cap. Mm-hmm. And I would say that I would like them to go defense, because if they had traded back to 9, I would have been like, go get a stud wide receiver. It might be a couple spots higher than normal. However, look at the teams that are successful in the NFL. They all have a number one weapon. They all have a real number one wide receiver. Look, the Bengals have 2. Number one wide receivers in T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. So I think that, to me, the number one priority of this season, at the end of the season, whether you make the playoffs or not, by however many games or not, you have to know what Justin Fields is. You absolutely have to. Because Ryan Poles has created a safety net for himself that if, at the end of the year, Justin Fields doesn't improve as a passer, then you have your first-round pick, and you have the Panthers' first-round pick, which is probably going to be pretty good, pretty high up there. And if Justin Fields isn't the guy, then you okay over there?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah. It's this...
You having limp mic problems?
Yeah.
We got fine partners for that, you know?
I'll deal with it.
Get you a blue chew for the mic?
Yeah, we need Mike Viagra.
So if they do this, then I would say that they you have to find out who Justin Fields is. And so at the end of the season, if they're not in love with Justin Fields anymore and he hasn't improved as a passer, you've set yourself up to where you can go and possibly move those two first-round picks and move up and get a Caleb Williams or a Drake May, or you might be in position to draft one of them. If the Panthers are the worst team in the league, and if you look at the Super Bowl odds, they have them projected to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. That could be a top three pick. You could get Caleb Williams or Drake May out of North Carolina. You could do that. And so, having said all that, in a long-form way, I still think they should go defense. And I think they should go defensive line because I assume that if the Cardinals are smart, they will trade that number three overall pick. So you'll have quarterbacks going in the first four picks of the draft, right? Meaning that Will Anderson probably goes five, Jalen Carter might go six, and then 7, 8, and then you at 9. You have a chance to still get maybe Tyree Wilson, maybe Miles Murphy, maybe another one of these stud defensive linemen. And I say that and not going with Skoronski or not going with, what is his name, Paris Johnson out of Ohio State.
Or Broderick Jones, or maybe the number one player now on the offensive line.
I don't think you need to do that.
That's where I think they're going.
They could, but I don't think you need to, because I trust Ryan Poles to find offensive linemen. I trust him to go out there and do what he's paid to do and find non-hyped offensive linemen that can turn into something with a year of experience. Look at what he did with Braxton Jones. Braxton Jones, a fifth-round pick. Is he the best offensive lineman in the league? No. He's certainly not the worst. He's definitely not the worst on this team. He's a good player. Look what they did with Tevin Jenkins. Tevin Jenkins wanted off this team. It was reported that he wanted a trade, and they turned him into a decent player. He had all the great tools and athletic attributes that you needed to be an offensive lineman, and they figured it out. So I trust Ryan Poles to find an offensive lineman in the second round, in the third round, in the fourth round. And again, you don't have to do it all this year. You also don't have to have the best offensive line in the league. They had the 15th ranked offensive line last year, if you put everything together with passing and running. Now, 90% of that ranking is probably because of running, but I trust Ryan Poles to do more deeper in the draft with the offensive line than I trust him to do with on defense. So I would go with the defensive player because that's where you need the most help.
Okay, I'm simply, now I asked him this off the air when we were down in Indy.
Uh-oh, are you bringing something off the air on the air?
Yeah, this isn't anything proprietary. We were just BSing. They had the Bears TV, the in-house TV that did a whole thing on his time down in Indianapolis. And so we were just chatting and said, let me ask you a question. You look at your board and you're like, I really don't need that position in the draft. He said, irrelevant. Irrelevant. He said, we put so much money and time into building our board out that when I looked at the board and went, Kyler Gordon's still on the board. He said, our mocks did not have that. He said, when he slipped, period, best player on the board, take him. When Brisker came up on the board, take him. He said, we will always stay loyal to our board. And so who's going to be the highest ranked player on their board? I read a billion of these mock drafts. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows anything. Nobody. But Carolina's going to take a quarterback. Houston, I would think, is going to take a quarterback. The first pick that really matters then is Arizona. And there are a lot of people that believe they will not trade because they want Will Anderson from Alabama.
I would trade it. You could still get Will Anderson. You could still get a solid defensive player. If you trade with, let's say, the Falcons at 8.
Well, they're saying the first defensive player off the board is going to be Will Anderson at 3. If they trade that pick and we assume that becomes a quarterback, Seattle is probably taking a defensive player at 5.
Yeah.
And that would probably be Will Anderson.
That's fine.
I like Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech. He's a beast. So is Will Anderson. They're both great players.
Well, I'm saying that I know Tyree Wilson walked by you, but what if Will Anderson walked by you? Would you be as in love with Tyree Wilson as you would have with Will Anderson?
A tape on both of these guys. They're both awesome prospects.
Yeah, I think Will Anderson's a little better than Tyree Wilson.
I'm biased.
I'm obviously biased though as an Alabama fan.
Yeah, I think they're splitting hairs. They're both great.
Yeah.
This latest mock has Christian Gonzalez, the cornerback out of Oregon, going 6th to Detroit. Mm-hmm. The Raiders taking Jalen Carter from Georgia at 7. Miles Murphy from Clemson going 8. And then the Bears are on the clock. If it fell that way, they have the Bears taking Broderick Jones, the offensive tackle from Georgia. I think the Bears are taking an offensive lineman. I do. They have a gaping hole. They need one.
Easy.
And he might be the highest rated guy on their board. Whoever it is, that's what they're doing. Period.
I just don't think that there's a rush to take an offensive lineman. I think we all believe that this is still a 2-year process, this offseason and next offseason.
Yeah, I don't think their record's going to be what other people think it's going to be next year. And I think Ryan has made that clear that he said to us, this is a 3-year process. And by the capital that he was able to get, an extra pick at 24, I think he is looking at 23. We got to be better. Not going to be 3-14, hopefully. But I do not think this is a team that wins 9-10 football games. I don't see any chance that happens. I don't.
I mean, they could. 9 is not out of the question. 10 is pushing it. 8 is certainly doable.
I think it's a 6-7 win team.
They better win 7 games. You have to win 7 games. If you win less than 6 games, Justin Fields isn't the guy. And so, yes, I understand.
But you said that. I don't mean you. You meaning everybody said if they go 3-14, there's no way he's the guy. And
no,
here we are.
I never said that. I said that if they go 3-14, or if they do whatever, like I'm fine with them. I just thought that they would be better because the offense that they had and what Justin Fields was able to do, and then some of the defensive players I thought would be a lot better. But last year wasn't a problem with Justin Fields. Last year, once they got to the Patriots game and they started scoring 35 points a game, the issue was health, because once the offensive line started getting hurt, mm-hmm. and once you lost Mooney, and once you lost Chase Claypool for a few games, and once you started losing offensive linemen, and then you lost Eddie Jackson for the season, and Kyle Gordon was hurt, and Jalen Johnson missed a couple games. Like, once you had those guys start to fall, that's when the losses came back. Like, that's
but that
when
you happens start... every year.
No, I
you
understand
lose
that.
Guys.
I understand that. But if you start building this team for depth, which is what they've done, what Ryan Poles has done, is now you have enough guys and enough bodies that if that happens, aside from Justin Fields, that you should be able to win. Like, that's the natural progression. The natural progression isn't to win 3 games again or to win 4 games again. The natural progression is, look at the Lions, look at the Eagles, is to win 7 or 8 games and then be the, oh, watch out for this team, watch out for this team, and then you make the move, and then you are that scary team to watch because you have Justin Fields. Like, look, the Lions might be great, and they might have a great offensive line and a great defensive line, and they just signed C.J. Gardner and all that kind of stuff, and that's cool. I still don't like Jared Goff. I don't think you can win with him. I think you can put up a lot of numbers with
him. He's far more accomplished than Justin Fields.
Okay, but Justin Fields has only had a competent offense for 5 games last year. Like, he did as soon as Darnell Mooney went down last year, that's it. That was the season. That was over. So I would go defense just to help the defensive line, because I think the talent is there this year.
312-332-3776. What do you want the Bears to do at 9? Offense, defense, or simply take the best damn player on the board? We'd love to hear your thoughts. 312-332-3776. Shay's at the controls with Jay Moore. He's Abdallah. I'm Cap at Spring Trading on ESPN 1000.
Checkmate 1-6. Immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
All right, time for Shot, No Shot, brought to you by Club Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. You've got Kentucky Derby prep races rolling on. The Derby around the corner, first Saturday in May. And bet your sports over at the PointsBet Sportsbook. We say good morning to Snorter.
Good morning, boys. Adam, lovely to see you this morning. Are you hanging in there? Yurko was falling asleep by this time last week, so I want to make sure you're doing okay.
I mean, the alarm was rough because that's even earlier than my newborn will wake up. So she'll usually wake up around, like, 2 o'clock in the morning and then again around, like, 6 o'clock in the morning. So 5:30 was oof. That was actually, no, I take that back. 4:45 was earlier than anticipated.
Hits you like a brick in the face.
Dude, it's awful.
If you do get a little tired, you could pull the old Yurko, take a nip of that little whiskey. That's how he opened up the
coffee.
That's how he opened up the pipes. That's how he got some oxygen in and stayed awake for the entire morning show last week. All right, boys, let's get started talking about the Bears. We will talk to Albert Breer about his conversation with Ryan Poles in the Monday Morning Quarterback in about 30 minutes. But I want to ask you both about this quote from Poles on if he told Fields that he's the guy. The quote, because the tape goes around with my staff and our coaches, and if it's universally known there's someone special, and it blows us away, that's what this league is about. I couldn't give him the definitive answer of yes, we're rolling with you next year. Shot or no shot? Poles offseason is less about Fields being the guy, more about what was available in the draft.
That's a shot. I truly believe this is a huge year for Justin. Huge. They're removing excuses for him. They're going to address the offensive line at some point in the draft. They brought in Nate Davis. They got DJ Moore. If he does not have a vastly improved season as a passer, the record probably will not be very good. Carolina's record may not be good at all. And they're going to have the capital to go get who they want in that draft. So, yes, I agree with that.
I don't remember. I'm confused by the question.
Shot or no shot? So, basically, Poles doesn't necessarily believe Fields is the guy. He just didn't like what was available in the draft.
No shot. He likes Fields. He didn't have to tell him that he's the guy. He showed him what he was going to do. Here's my draft board. He goes, here's my draft board. I just got you DJ Moore.
No, he showed him his draft board from last year. Okay. He didn't show him this year's draft
board. He might have showed him this year's draft board. I don't think you need to. Look,
you tell me if Trevor Lawrence was in this draft, he wasn't taking him.
I'm telling you that if Trevor Lawrence was in this draft, that...
Well, forget Trevor Lawrence. If Caleb Williams is in this year's draft instead of next year's.
100% taking him.
I don't think so. I don't know. There's no guarantee that Caleb Williams is going to be good. There's no guarantee on any of these guys. Unless you have, like, this guy is, like you said, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning.
Trevor Lawrence.
Those kind of guys. Well, Trevor Lawrence wasn't very good his first year.
Well, that was a train wreck in Jacksonville. But in that draft, that's okay. My point. In that draft, he was the clear number one guy
okay.
that everyone wanted.
Awesome.
So if he was in this draft...
You could have gotten a bigger haul than you did for with DJ Moore and trading all those picks.
I personally believe, and we'll never know, Ryan Poles, if there was a clear, that's a franchise quarterback, that's that guy right there.
We'll know this
he's
year.
He's taking him.
If Fields doesn't improve, we'll know this year. He'll take Caleb Williams. And
but
he'll,
he might not
trade.
Have the number one pick this year.
But you can move up for it.
You can, but this year he had number one. And if there was, I believe, if there was a franchise lock stock Andrew Luck in the draft, he was taking him. That's what I believe.
I think that they let you know what they think of Justin Fields when they got Chase Claypool. They're going to build around him. And whether the move is good or not, I think you need another offseason to figure it out because he's so young. But I think they let you know what they think of Justin Fields when they traded for Chase Claypool. And it's that they believe in him.
Shake.
All right, boys, the Bears still have a glaring hole on the defensive line, especially having missed out on Javon Hargrave in free agency. There are still a few options out there. I want to ask you about one of them, Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney had a fantastic 2021, ton of sacks, over 20 quarterback hits, but last year slipped quite a bit, just 3 sacks, 4 quarterback hits last season. Shot or no shot, the Bears should buy low on Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, no shot for me. Guys bounced around, no shot. He ran his mouth in Cleveland. They want out, gone. No thank you. They do not need that in their locker room.
How much are you talking? What's a deal? What's a deal for Jadeveon Clowney? How much? How many millions are you giving him?
Say 1 year, $8 million.
I would do it for 1 year, $8 million. I would do that. I don't see why not. It's 1 year. If it doesn't work, again, none of us believe this team is going to win anything this year as far as playoffs, or they're certainly not a Super Bowl contender or anything like that. I think you can take a flyer on him for 1 year and make it work. He is 30, so I wouldn't want to go anything more than like 2 years in this deal. But I would say shot for 1 year. I don't think it's that. Like, I haven't heard that he's a bad guy. I haven't heard that teams don't like him. I didn't think he had a down year last year. I think that, you know, it might be worth $8 million. $8 million's fine. I would do $8 million. That's a good number. $7-8 million. Shot. Shay.
I don't want that guy in my room. Go ahead, Shay.
What'd he do to you?
I quantum leaped into Ryan Pohl's body, so I'm making those decisions. You're okay. Out. Not you. Jadeveon.
All right.
Shay.
All right, boys. Ryan Poles also talked to Albert Breer about what the return could have been for the trade of the number one pick. He handed the Panthers general manager Scott Fitterer a list of three boosters, basically kickers, that could be attached to a trade to make it more appealing because Poles may take himself out of blue chip range. Clearly, DJ Moore was on that list. We're not certain who the other two were. At least one of them was Brian Burns. Beyond that, you get into maybe the right tackle, Taylor Moton. Maybe
or
you get into defensive tackle,
Horn,
Derek Brown.
The corner.
Or the corner, Horn. Shot or no shot, the question. DJ Moore is the best piece you could have gotten out of them.
Oh, absolute shot. Absolute shot. He's a young wide receiver who's cost-effective, who's had trash quarterbacks thrown to him, and he still put up good numbers? Yeah, absolute shot. That's the best. That's the best guy on the team that you could have gotten. And that's it fits a need where the player is heightened by the lack of quality free agents at the position, because teams, good free agents, good wide receiver free agents usually don't hit the market because they're either upset with the last year of their deal and they want more money so they get traded, or they get a new deal because you don't want to get rid of a good wide receiver. So it's an absolute shot that DJ Moore was the best player you could possibly get in that deal.
Brian Burns is a really, really good player. You would have been happy with, for me, with either guy. They have a glaring need at pressure in the quarterback and a glaring need in their wide receiver room. So those would be the two guys. J.C. Horn, what was he, a top 10 or top 8 pick at cornerback? He's a very, very good player as well. Any of the three would have addressed the need. I love that they went and got Justin some help. Check.
All right, the four-day work week is buzzy, and California Representative Mark Takano is reintroducing a bill to Congress that would shift the definition of the work week from 40 hours to 32 hours. He says, quote, to increase the happiness of humankind. Shot or no shot, this needs to happen.
Shot. Absolute shot. Absolute shot. We're a society that relies on mental health now. Mental health's the number one thing. You got to take care of your mentals. Nothing's better than a three-day weekend. And think about it. When you get a holiday, you get an automatic four-day weekend. That's amazing. That's so good. And I already have the approval here from Keith Williams right now to implement this. He texted me when Chris and I were talking about this when this first came up, when they did this over in Europe and did a study, like a six-month study or whatever. And he was like, yeah, we could do a four-day week. That'd be awesome. It'd be great to do a four-day week. You get a three-day. You could be – think about the value added to your lake house. If you could be up there for three-day weekend as opposed to two-day weekend, it'd be so much better. You could do your recaps up there, all that kind of stuff. You don't need to stop that. You could just go up to that lake house for 3 days a week.
I do it a lot.
Great. Yeah, there you go.
I'm not on board with the four-day work week.
But why not? At the root of it, why not?
Because I'm not a guy who wants to lay around or do nothing. Now I'm in a different stage in my life. I'm 30 years older than you. I enjoy the grind, the chase every single day. Can I be better today than I was yesterday? What can I accomplish today that I didn't accomplish yesterday?
You're still in an industry where you can still do all that. You want to come in and work on a Bears Sunday? Come in and work on a Bears Sunday. No one's stopping you. You want to do post game? Come do post game. No one's stopping you.
You come on, be our pre and post game show guy. You want to be our pre and post game show guy?
I personally believe we become a soft, lazy society. That's what I believe.
What does that have to do with it?
If I owned a company, there would not be 4-day work weeks for my people that are working full time.
But if they show that you are revenue is the same, money is the same, all that kind of stuff is the same, what's wrong with it?
Or better, productivity went up.
Productivity went up.
I'd have to see that. I'd have to see it in my company that if I hired you and you only worked 4 days a week and your productivity went up, have at it. Have at it. I don't believe that will be the case in many companies.
But it's already proven that it is the case. They did the study. The study proves that it is.
The study does not prove that it is.
It did.
93% of the companies that tested it said they will not go back to 5 days because it was more productive.
I'd have to see it in my own company. I'm old school, man. I do not go for the way the society is today.
You're running a sweatshop is what you're doing, man.
No, I would be the guy that pays the best, treats you the best, and demands the most productivity. And you don't want to work for me? That's fine. I'm cool with that.
I'm going to go work for the four-day a week guy. Are you kidding me? You're going to have a mass exodus at Cap and Cap Company. Not Cap and Company. No, that was already a show. Cap Company.
Cap Company.
Wow.
All right, boys. An Oregon suburb has become popular for one woman trimming her hedges. A giant arborvitae into the shape of a giant penis. Her neighbors regularly contribute decorations like little red balls as ornaments for Christmas and even massive scissors for World Vasectomy Day. The hedge is colloquially referred to as the Chub Shrub and regularly stops traffic on suburban streets. Shot or no shot, a giant arborvitae is the funniest thing you can make look like a penis.
Ooh. Oh, man. Shot. Because you can change it, right? Like, first of all, what does the headline say?
The headline was, giant penis pleases suburban neighborhood.
Cap, I didn't know you moved.
Wow.
I complimented you. I think because you can change it, right?
You have to let it grow.
Well, I mean, that's a personal thing right there.
Is a grower or a shower?
That's it. Grower or a shower?
I was looking for stories for Fleck and Abdallah, and this is a definite Waddle's World story. This one's also a very Waddle's World-esque story. They did a study, another study that Cap probably won't believe in, that said that's actually a thing. Growers versus showers.
I saw that article.
That's actually a thing. Well, it probably came in your inbox, too.
All right, so we have got to go around the NFL.
Oh, come on.
We keep a clock here.
Jokes?
We have got to go around the NFL.
I listen every day. Shot or no shot consistently goes over. Consistently goes over.
Around the NFL is next.
Right? Consistently goes over.
It's next.
Consistently, Jay Moore. Consistently.
This is Spring Training Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago hosts, but paired with different radio partners.
How are we going to work this? Same way we always do. I interrogate him, you write it down.
Spring Training Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Love when we go around the NFL. We do it every day at 8:18. We turn it over to Snorling Adam Abdallah in for Hoodie on Spring Trading Day. Again, don't forget, Greeny at 10, Hood and Waddle at noon, Sylvie and Carm at 2 to 6, Bleck and Yurko 6 to 8 on your home for the Bears and the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Snorboard.
All right, Austin Eckler, we know the Chargers have given him permission to seek a trade, the Chargers running back for the last few seasons. Went on Chris Long's Greenlight podcast. Says he has nothing against anyone with the Chargers, but he wouldn't want to stay there unless he's going to get paid what he thinks he's worth. He's not going to stop seeking the contract he wants. His quote, "I'm so underpaid right now as far as my contract and what I contribute to the team. I am relentlessly pursuing this. I want to get something long-term done. I want a team that wants me long-term." Well, he is a running back, so the question for me, is this guy going to start playing wide receiver?
Yeah, I'm not giving running backs long-term money like that. No, thank you.
What if they said you can have him for a sixth-round pick and the deal was not stupid expensive? Would you do it?
What's stupid expensive? Not stupid expensive.
It's the David Montgomery deal.
No, I'm not paying running backs. I'm drafting running backs. I'm drafting like Shea said, is he playing wide receiver? Then no thank you. I'm drafting a pass catching running back in like the fourth round, fifth round. And that's it.
So you're not taking Bijan Robinson?
No, God no.
I think he's gone in the first round. If he's there in the second round, I would consider it.
Nope.
But I don't think he will be. I think he's gone top 15.
Did I tell you I went through the top 10 yards per attempt guys from last season? 7 of the 10 were drafted fourth round or later.
Pretty good.
Let's see. What does
build that O-line.
What does Mel have? Mel has him, let's see, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27 to the Bills. Bijan Robinson. See, that's not horrible.
That's a win now move.
Yeah, because they're built to win now, and that's fine. That's a good move for the Bills. I have no problem with that.
Running back in the top 10, that's not a build your franchise type
of
move.
No, it's a luxury position if you're the Bills, or even if you're, you know, the Eagles have to replace a lot on defense, so they're not going to do that. But yeah, for the Bills, that's fine. That's a decent move for the Bills at 27.
Isn't this also with Eckler? Like, how many times have we seen this movie? This reminds me of the Le'Veon Bell holdout in Pittsburgh. And if you remember what happened there, he refused to play. He refused the contract that the Steelers were offering him. And then he eventually signed with the Jets for the same contract he refused from the Steelers. You never get more money out of doing this.
No.
By the way, so you've had Kuipers. He had him. Mm-hmm. McShay, latest. With the 10th pick, Philadelphia takes Bijan Robinson.
No. 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 Philly, no. Philly will run up the rocky steps and riot if they take a running back at 10. With all the defense that they just lost. And by the way, a buddy of mine is a huge, huge Eagles fan. He's like, you guys are going to love TJ Edwards. Like, he listens to a lot of Philly sports radio and said callers there are more pissed off that they lost TJ Edwards than anything else. That he's a Bear now. And he's like, you guys are going to love him. He's going to be awesome.
I hope he's right.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep adding good players.
Yeah.
Keep adding good players. Shay.
All right, so Devin McCourty, who retired from the Patriots after 13 seasons, is opening up a little bit about what was happening in that locker room. He said it was a back and forth with the players. Half the locker room wanted Mac Jones. Half the locker room wanted Bailey Zappe.
Your guy losing it?
Who, Belichick?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, the fastball's long gone.
I mean, look, I think that you can still win with Mac Jones. I think that he has to have an almost perfect situation around him. He has to have a very good offensive line. He has to have a bunch of weapons. He has to be at Alabama, essentially. Like, you have to be... He has to be almost in the perfect situation, which is why when he came out of school and was drafted, I predicted that he would have the best first season because it was a perfect situation. The Patriots had a decent roster his first year, and he had the best year out of those quarterbacks that came out because of that. He went to the best situation. Now he hasn't been able to capitalize on it, so...
Well, I kept hearing all this, he doesn't like to be yelled at and all that. You're coming from Nick Saban, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And Nick gets after his guys now.
If they're not working. See, he's always been a hard worker. He's always been that first guy in, last guy out type of guy. So he never was at the the wrath of Nick Saban.
I read that same article, Cap, and what I read in there was that Belichick basically told his assistants this past season, put kid gloves on when you're handling Mac Jones. I don't think he can take it. And by the end of the season, Mac was verbally asking, go harder on me and coach me harder because this is stupid.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. It just seems like a mess what's going on in New England. The greatest dynasty in the history of the sport feels like it's over. Like, and not just waiting for the resurrection. It's long gone. They are not bouncing back. It's a catastrophe what's going
on. He's not going to go out like this. Belichick needs to go out on top.
He does.
So he's going to do whatever he can.
Can he? The biggest question is you got to know when to go.
Make an offer for Lamar.
We'll see. Will they win with Lamar?
You're better with Lamar. Can't question that.
They're still maybe the fourth best team in the division, even with him.
Yeah.
Where does Lamar end up?
Well, we'll ask Albert Breer in about 10 minutes.
We will.
Shay.
How about this from C.J. Gardner-Johnson, new defensive back for the Lions? He was asked what he thinks of the Detroit roster compared to the roster he came from. He said, quote, to be honest with you, it's a little bit better, but that's just on me. Everybody can look from the outside looking in. From the outside looking in, this team has talent. This team, we can win the division. Everybody should feel that way. But when I look at a team coming from where I came from and the teams I've played on, this team has what it takes to get there.
Yeah, everybody's. He's swinging a ghost here. Everybody thinks that the Lions are going to win the division now because Aaron Rodgers is on his way out at some point. Like, they're the favorite to win in Vegas. You can't. Like, the Lions better not pull this.
They're plus 160.
The Lions better not pull this us versus the world crap because everyone thinks they're going to be good this year.
Like, you don't.
No, I think they're. I just said that I think they can win the division. We were talking off the air. I said they can. You bet them to win to go to the Super Bowl. That's a little different. I think they can win the division. They're certainly still not as good as the Eagles. And I also saw Adam Thielen say yesterday that the Panthers have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So this is just what new players do in new places.
Agreed. I think looking at the NFC North, the Bears have not addressed right tackle. They haven't yet. I know there's the draft. They have not addressed the defensive line in large part. They still need another corner. They don't have 30 draft picks. They got 10. The Lions have, what did we say, Shay, after this year? They're going to have 16 first and second round of their own picks on their roster. They're loaded. Now, can Jared Goff, man, do what he did last year when he was really, really good? I don't know. Probably. That remains to be seen.
Probably not.
He took a team in L.A. to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
He was really good in Detroit this past year.
Okay.
We're going to find out.
They also went 9-8 and didn't make the playoffs.
Correct.
So we assume the Vikings come back down to earth a little bit after winning 13 games. The Bears are going to win more games. The Packers might be the same as they were last year. Maybe a little worse. Yeah, I could see them winning the division, but they're definitely not as good as the Eagles. Get out of here.
Eagles CJ lost Gardner. A lot, man.
Okay. They still have a better quarterback. They still have better weapons. They still have a better offensive and defensive line. Or maybe not defensive line, but they still have a better offensive line.
Lions are top three in the NFL offensive line.
The Eagles had the number one offensive line last year.
And they just lost Isaac Suamalo.
Okay.
And did they lose a second guy off that O-line or just him?
I don't think so. Either way, they're still bringing back the core of Mailata, Lane Johnson, and Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
Correct.
They still have the best offensive line in the NFL.
Gonna be a battle. Shay.
All right, this is a fascinating story to me. Cam Newton wants to be a quarterback in the NFL today, so where is he going to get that opportunity? Back to school. He will throw at Auburn's Pro Day today in an effort to court an NFL team. He said, quote, tell me how these randoms keep getting jobs. Ain't 32 mothers better than me, you dig?
Wait, read it again.
Tell me how these randoms keep getting jobs. Ain't 32 mothers better than me, you dig?
Wow.
I love that. That's awesome.
What is this guy? He's 33 years old. He's throwing at a pro day.
Yeah, let him go. Hey, listen.
He's obviously still feels he's got A, something left, and B, something to prove.
And he's not like just assuming he's going to get a job, right? He's going to go do the work. He's going and trying out at a pro day so people can like watch him throw again. And so, I mean, I think he's too injury prone for him to make another run and try to play with a team. But if he's willing to be a backup somewhere and earn a job, I don't see why not. If he look, you're going to have teams. Look at what the Bucks are doing. The Bucks are bringing in Baker Mayfield, something I called 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're punting the season. They are punting the season. They are trying to be the worst team in the NFL. They're going to be selling off pieces the way the Bears were. They're going to be trading dudes. They brought in Baker Mayfield, which says everything you need to know about this team. Like, if he wants to go be a backup and, quote, compete for a job, then fine. I don't see why not. But at least he's not just assuming he's going to get one by going to meetings and stuff like that. He's throwing.
I'm healthy again. Let's go.
I got no problem with it.
All right. Albert Breer had an exclusive sit-down with Bears general manager Ryan Poles. What did he tell him about trading down to 2, then to 9? What went into the deal? What does Albert think the Bears might be looking to do in the draft? It's all coming up. Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback, is next.
Here's today's headline with Cap'n Jay Hood.
All righty, the Bulls got it done last night. Third straight win, 5 out of 6, double overtime. Take that, Philly, in a low-scoring 109-105 game in Philadelphia. Bulls defense continue to shine. PBEV and the big three of DeRozan, Vucevic, Levine combined for 82 points. The win was the first ever for the Bulls over the Sixers when Joel Embiid, one of the top two candidates for MVP, was in the lineup. Blackhawks blown out in Colorado, lost their second straight. They've lost 5 out of 7. Avalanche drill them in Denver, 5-0. They get the Capitals Thursday night in D.C. Former Cowboys tight end Dalton Schultz, no longer a free agent. He is staying in the state of Texas. 1-year deal worth up to $9 million with the Houston Texans. And the World Baseball Classic Final will be played tonight in Miami at 6 p.m. The U.S. against Japan. Japan walked off Mexico last night. Shohei Ohtani will not be the starting pitcher. He's expected to be available, though, in a relief role for Team Japan. Shay.
This is Spring Trading Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago host, but paired with different radio partners. Spring Trading Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap'n Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What?
You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
What Bert is it?
Our guy, Albert Breer, on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline, got a great sit-down with Bears general manager Ryan Poles. I highly recommend you read it. Albert, good morning. How are you today, my friend?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing great. We are excited. The Bears sit at number 9, but I want to talk about the trade that got them from 1 to 9. You had a chance to sit down with our general manager, Ryan Poles, and the headline says Bears GM never told Justin Fields he's their quarterback, but his decision on March 10 did. So what did Ryan tell you about the whole process?
No, it's interesting because, he tried to be as transparent as he was as he could be with Justin. And he took me back to that thing last April where he let him into the draft room and showed him, hey, if we don't take a receiver, here's why. If we don't take an offensive lineman, here's why. And of course, in the second round, they wind up taking Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker. And so, I think the whole purpose was, it wasn't to make Justin Fields or give Justin Fields like decision-making power. It was to make him feel like a partner. And, I think, Ryan's experience with, both Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City informed him on that and how to handle a quarterback and, that these guys just want to be updated and just want to know what's going on. And, he basically said to me, he's like, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't do that. So, that was sort of the backdrop for the whole thing. And then, they get to the middle of January, the season ends. And, I think they were as transparent as they could be with Justin and saying they were going to go through the process. but they loved a lot of things that he did. They gave him areas that he had to improve on based on how he played in 2022. And I think, you know, it gave Justin some confidence that unless they ran into something that was, in his words, special, that they would move forward with Justin as the quarterback. And that was the reason why I think they sort of held back. You know, it's like that was the other thing that I think the Mahomes experience sort of informed Ryan Poles on, was that, you know, like, that was what Kansas City was waiting for in not drafting a quarterback high for the first 4 years that Andy Reid was there. And it was their fifth draft when they wound up going up for Mahomes. It was, you know, they were waiting for something that would just blew them away. And, you know, I think Justin, they feel like he's got the ceiling to potentially grow into that. But if something came along that was already that, then they would have to, you know, obviously think about it. So, yeah, that's sort of like, I guess, the soup to nuts, you know, a recap of the way the whole thing went between the general manager and the quarterback there.
You mentioned the special comment that Ryan Poles made, and I want to go back to something I heard you say with Cap and Jay Hood. Maybe it was a couple months ago, about how some of these teams at the top of the draft might be looking to next year's quarterback class.
Yep.
Is that something you still feel is possible from, like a Houston looks at this draft and they go, hey, we got a new coaching staff. We don't want to tie ourselves to a short quarterback in Bryce Young. Maybe we'll just wait until next year.
You know, everybody's convinced Houston's taking one. But I mean, maybe that's why, you know, they got a little, they got some cold feet at the very end. You know, and when the Bears were considering the double trade, it's possible that's part of the consideration. I certainly think that that's something that a lot of teams are going to be looking at. And I know of a couple already that, you know, when they went into their, you know, off-season work and, you know, the All-Star games and then the draft meetings, you know, had their scouts look not just at this year's quarterbacks, but look at, you know, Drake May from North Carolina and Caleb Williams from USC as well. So, you know, I think that that's that the idea there would really be, like you said, you don't want to tie yourself down if you're not 100% on a guy. And if you have the job security to wait a year, and you feel like the quarterbacks that will be available in 2024 are exponentially better than the ones that are available in 2023, well, then that's something to consider. But the flip side is, guys, and I think, you know, this is one thing that we all have to think about in these situations, is you don't know how 23 is going to play out for the quarterbacks that are still in college. You know what I mean? So things can oftentimes look a lot better a year out than they do when, you know, it's staring you in the face and there's 2 months until a draft. So, you know, I think that that's something certainly to consider here. But the way that NFL people talk about both Caleb Williams and Drake May, you know, I don't think it's, you know, like Trevor Lawrence, but certainly, you know, I think it's maybe like just a notch below that, where those guys, you know, I mean, the comparisons you hear, and doesn't mean they're as good as these two guys, but you know, the comparisons you hear as far as just who they are athletically, you know, you hear Caleb Williams compared to Patrick Mahomes, and you hear Drake May compared to Andrew Luck. So, again, that doesn't mean they're going to get there, but physically they've got just about everything that you'd want.
Okay, so to follow all that up, I got two things for you. One, if Trevor Lawrence or Andrew Luck or whoever it was, the clear, that guy, he looks like it, he walks like it, he talks like it, that's a franchise quarterback. Does Ryan Poles keep the number one pick and take that guy, yes or no?
I think so, yeah. I mean, but those are rare. Like, that's the other thing. And, I mean, like, you know, there are players. Like, the Chiefs were incredibly high in Mahomes, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
And they went all the way up from 27 to 10. So there are cases where, and this is a credit to the people who are in Kansas City then, there are cases where there's one or two teams that's like, that guy, and we're not going to tell anybody we feel this way, but that guy right there is as good as anybody I've seen in the last 5-10 years. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, just as far as, like, the consensus, you know, the names you use there, Trevor Lawrence, Andrew Luck, that's like once in a decade. You know what I mean? Like, I think if you're talking about the consensus and, you know, doing all the work that I've done over the years in the draft and, you know, covering the league and everything else, you know, I think since I was born in 1980, there are four quarterbacks that stand apart. John Elway, Peyton Manning, Trevor Lawrence, Andrew Luck. They're just in the way that they were talked about before the draft, the consensus on them as players and who they could become, And the fact that all four of those guys were seen as having very, very high floors. I think that's what it is. It's like the combination of high ceiling and high floor, you know, that put those four guys sort of apart. So if there was one of those types available, yeah, I think that the Bears would probably do it. But those types are exceedingly rare.
Okay, so Adam and I have had this discussion. I still believe Poles is taking this slower approach. He's going to roll some of the money over into the 2023-24 offseason. And he's, look, no one wants to lose. He's not waking up going, boy, I hope we go 1-16 and get the number one pick. But he's okay if they go 6-11, 5-12. I still think they're the worst team in the division. They just have a huge upside coming because of all the draft capital. Where are you on the Bears in this division today?
You know, I think that they're probably still an offseason away. And I think that's the right way to build based on where they were. You know, I think last year was really, and they didn't want to say it at the time, but, you know, like a big part of last year was about getting out of the cap mess, you know. And so they ate all the dead money, and that's why they have so much money this year. And part of it is they just didn't have that many players in their roster that you'd want to re-sign, you know. I mean, it's almost always that way. When you see a team with a lot of cap space, go look at their drafts from 3, 4, 5 years ago. You know what I mean? There's like usually no one there. And the reason they have cap space is because all that money that would have been earmarked to go to guys that they drafted 3, 4, or 5 years ago, like, they're not spending it on those guys, you know? So, I think that they're a full off season away. And, I think, you know, what you hope again is that you got a team that sort of comes on at the end of the year. And you got a lot of good young players that are ascending over the course of the year. And you got a quarterback who's getting better over the course of the year. And I think the ideal situation, guys, like, you know, we're talking a lot about Caleb Williams and Drake May, right? I mean, if you were like 5-12 or 6-11 or whatever, like, wouldn't the ideal situation to have like Justin Fields playing great? And then you're in position to draft Marvin Harrison, you know,
yes,
in the top five. Wouldn't that be a better scenario than having to spend another piece of capital on a quarterback? I don't know. That's the way I see it.
Albert, is there something in your phone specifically about Lamar Jackson that maybe we don't know yet? Well, because there hasn't been anything. Like, free agency started, it was like, oh, there's going to be offers and all this kind of stuff. There hasn't been any noise about Lamar Jackson whatsoever. Is this going to come down to, like, a draft day trade or something like that?
No, I sort of touched on this, and I do think – so I think the one thing that people aren't paying attention to is the rules, okay? So – the rules are that, like, you know, you have to give up your next two first-round picks. Well, that changes once you get past the draft. So, you know, you get to May 1st, and now all of a sudden you're talking about your picks in 24 and 25. Most teams get past the draft, and they feel pretty good about themselves, right? So there are very few teams that get past the draft and think, oh, yeah, we're going to be drafting in the top 10 next year. You know what I mean? So, like, if you're – say the Colts, right? And say you're not wild about this year's quarterback class, you know, would you look at it and say, you know what, let's spend the fourth pick on Will Anderson, right? And let's get past the draft, and then let's sign Lamar Jackson after the draft. And we've got a creative offensive coordinator in Shane Steichen who helped bring along, or a creative offensive play caller in Shane Steichen who comes over after being Jalen Hurts' play caller in Philadelphia, and we get past the draft, and now we don't have to give up the fourth overall pick. And if we have Lamar Jackson, we're going to be pretty good, right? So you figure maybe that pick is now the 20th pick instead of the fourth pick, right? So, like, that's the one thing I don't think enough people are paying attention to, is the way the rules work. There could be some teams drafting high that get through this process and say to themselves, we're not wild about the quarterbacks. And, oh, by the way, like, if we sign Lamar Jackson to an offer sheet in May, we're giving up a pick next year, which, if Lamar Jackson is on our team, might not be a very high pick anymore.
Albert, have a great day. We appreciate all of your insight. You're the best.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Albert.
We'll see you. Albert Breer, Money Money Quarterback, SI.com. All right. Abdallah explains a TV show.
Oh.
Next.